Please join me with an attitude of prayer. Gracious God of all creation, we thank you so very much for all of your blessings, for your presence among us here today. You never abandon us. We thank you that you are able to relieve our worries. Forgive us for our poor choices. Comfort us in times of sorrow and illness. We thank you for second chances and for guidance. And we hope that we continue to grow in wisdom as we try to follow you in this journey that we are on. We ask for courage, humility, and patience so that we can better reflect and understand how we are called to serve you. We want to help in some way, Father, to make this world a better place for all people in every part of the world. And teach us to love our enemies, speak up for the disenfranchised, for those who have no voice. We ask for strength to help us shine a light on the pervasive crime of human trafficking. We especially are thankful for this church community that you have blessed us with, for the love for one another and for the support and nurture that it gives. We pray that we reflect this love outwardly beyond these church walls, and we understand that it is a rededication of your love come down in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we be a witness to your love and seek to be a service to others, not just ourselves. And now take a moment to reflect and share with God those private thoughts and prayers in your heart. Please join me now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture lesson this morning is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Hear the word of God. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sue. Through the first part of this summer, we've been spending time at the movies, and we started off, you may remember, back in June with animated classics, and then we moved into sports classics, and this is the end of the sports section, and we're going to be covering The Blind Side. That's our movie this morning. So the movie we're looking at, this is a 2009 movie. Hopefully some of you have seen it. It's The Blind Side. Now the sport, if you didn't guess, the sport is football. And thank you, Ben Karskis, for getting the note. And they're wearing their favorite jersey, although it is maize and blue. So, you know, we're also about forgiveness here. Hey, I'm sorry, I'm green and white. What can I say? So it's a story about a man by the name of Michael Orr, and he's a young black man living in Memphis, Tennessee. Now, Michael is a unique individual. He is the sixth of 12 children born to a woman who struggled with drug addiction. Now, Michael lives a life of poverty, violence, deprivation, uneducation, uncaring. It's a difficult life. But he finds hope in a new school and in a safer social environment. Now, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm going to run the trailer so you get a quick overview, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Hoppin' Adam. Sean Jr., you clean this room up before you come downstairs, you hear me?
Okay, big smile, Chewy family.
Come and get it, y'all.
Everyone, thank your mother for driving to the store and getting this.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mama.
He's been enrolled in 7 different institutions, including a gap of 18 months around the age of 10, when he apparently didn't attend school at all.
I tell you, most kids with his background wouldn't come within 200 miles of this place.
Class, this is Mike Orr, and he's new here, so I expect you all to make him feel welcome.
Hi.
Smile at him. It lets them know you're their friend. I'm Sean.
Who is that, Esther?
Big Mike.
What is he wearing?
It's below freezing.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me. Come on.
Was this a bad idea?
What's the big deal? It's just for one night. It is just for one night, right?
Find some time to figure out another bedroom for you.
This is mine?
Yes, sir.
Never had one before.
What, a room to yourself?
A bed.
It's all good, that's what you're doing, but don't be surprised if one day you wake up and he gone.
Michael was here.
Last night. Tell him to sleep with one eye open.
You threaten my son. You threaten me.
Michael's grades have improved enough that he can go out for spring football in March.
This team is your family, Michael. When you look at him, you think of me, how you have my back. Are you going to protect the family, Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
SJ, you're going to want to get this.
Who's the big guy eating with your little brother?
It's his big brother. I think what you're doing is so great. Honey, you're changing that boy's life.
No. He's changing mine.
So from the trailer, you can see the story I mentioned. It's about Michael Orr, and it's Orr, like a paddle in a boat. That's the way Leanne describes it. And the family that takes him in, they're the Tuies. And on the slide, you can see that is the real Michael Orr in his Baltimore Ravens jersey in a game. The Tuies are the lower left of that slide, and then the Blind Side DVD cover is on there. And the reason I put that up there, and you can't see it because it's a little hard to see, but Sandra Bullock won the Best Actress Oscar for her portrayal of Leanne Tuie in this movie. And she does an amazing job. You can see that Leanne lives with passion and love. And I want to explain where the title of this movie came from, The Blind Side. If you've seen the movie, they run this clip at the beginning, but it's from a Monday night football game back in November 18th, 1985. Now, a lot of you may remember this. Joe Theismann was the quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and on the other side of the ball was Lawrence Taylor for the New York Giants. And a play ensues that when you hear the crack, It's not the crack of pads. It's the crack of Joe Theismann's leg. And it is loud enough that there was silence after that, because Lawrence Taylor, when he came around the corner and got him from the blind side, broke his leg and ended his career. And so the point of the blind side is you have to protect your quarterback. And in the movie, Leanne points out the number one paid player in most teams is the quarterback. Number two may surprise you. It's usually the offensive left tackle. Because as Leanne puts it in the movie, first you pay the mortgage, then you pay the insurance. Because you have to protect your quarterback, your highest paid player, your future, and you have to do that by protecting their blind side. So Michael, his job in football is to keep people safe. But he's never going to get that opportunity from where he's coming from. And so this movie actually, while we've been talking about sports movies all summer, this isn't just about sports. This is actually, and you heard it in the scripture, this is about love and love for others. Because in the scripture reading today from 1 John 4, I don't know if anybody counted, but the word love occurs 27 times. And that doesn't count the word beloved, which was in there twice. So that's a lot of love. And if you have any doubt what this scripture is about, then you aren't listening, because it's about love. And twice in this scripture we hear the following: God is love. And that's in 1 John 4:8 and then verse 16 as well. And notice it doesn't say God is loving or God loves us. It says God is love. It's making a statement, and that God is defining love, and it's not the other way around. Frederick Buchner, he says it this way: to say that love is God is romantic idealism. To say that God is love is either the last straw or the ultimate truth. It's putting a lot of weight on that statement. God is love. And God loved us before we even knew how to offer a response. Love comes from God. It's the source of God's power, and it's a source of our ability to love God and to love others. God gave the ultimate sacrifice. In John 3, verses 16 and 17, we hear it as this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus is the prime example of what it means to love. Everything he did in his life and in his death was supremely loving. And God didn't stop there, because then God sent the Holy Spirit to give us the power to love. The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. God lives with us. And it makes us more and more like Christ every day. When we look at this morning's scripture from 1 John, we start off in chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. I want to focus on those for a second, because what you'll notice if you re-listen to those or read them is that they're in the past tense. It tells us how God's love was revealed. It tells us Jesus was sent. We're told to love one another, and even though we haven't seen God, if we love one another, God lives in us. But it takes this past tense approach. Okay, so that's, I understand what you wanted us to do. What do we do next? Well, in the movie, when asked if she's a good person, Leanne's husband, Sean, responds, "You're the best person I know. Everything you do for others." See, love is more than just a thought. It's an action. And in this movie, The Blind Side, Leanne Toohey is constantly taking action. She brings Michael into their home on a cold, rainy night when he doesn't have a place to stay. And it's only for one night, right? She brings him into a world that he had no knowledge of. He probably never even imagined it. She's complicated. We hear that in the movie. Because she shows her loves through actions. And when Michael first comes into the home, he's a bit out of his element. He is pepper in a sea of salt. And if you really wonder how Michael felt when he first stepped into the Tuohy's home, all you have to do is look at this Norman Rockwell picture that was on the cover of the coffee table book sitting in front of him. And it's the Thanksgiving scene with the perfect turkey, grandma and grandpa serving it. That is not the world that Michael Orr knew. Big Mike, as he was called, came from a different place. And he needed something, something we all need. Feasting on the Word tells us that love is an act of courage. And agape love is love that gives without expecting a return. It's sacrificial love. This is the love that Leanne Tuohy and the family show Michael throughout the movie. A few weeks later, though, after the movie started and Michael is first in their home, it's Thanksgiving Day. And it's Michael who moves the family to live out that Norman Rockwell painting. Although, it looks a little bit different.
As you mentioned, the mistake, defensive...
Come and get it, y'all.
Yeah, baby.
Let's eat.
Come on.
That rebel turkey. Everyone thank your mother for driving to the store and getting this.
Thank you, Mom.
Food and football.
Eat all you want.
Come on. Hustle, hustle. You gotta get back on.
Go ahead.
Don't take my spot.
Are you rushing us, Jay? SJ,
come through.
No.
This is fantastic.
Oh, y'all, I forgot the potato salad. How's Ole Miss doing?
They're kicking butt.
One wide receiver left for Ole Miss, one corner, number 30 out in press coverage.
Sean, salad.
Dogs up in the box, so expecting to run.
Great, Mom.
So good. Thanks, Mama.
There. Yeah, Mama.
Nice little surge, but not much running inside.
Come on. The
Rebels got third and long here.
Birdsong and Mawinney on the tackle. Ole Miss 5 of 10 on third downs from the 26. Third down and 6 for the Rebels.
Come on, defense.
Rain is slow. Let's see if they try a pass or not. Now Turner goes in motion out of the backfield. State showing blitz. Here they come. Manning to throw. Runs to his right. Throws it at the feet of the...
Hey!
Whoa!
What? Mom!
But it's Thanksgiving. Wow.
Why are we eating in here?
Shh. Shall we say grace? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings on this family. We thank you for bringing us a new friend. And we ask that you look after us on this holiday season, that we may never forget how very fortunate we are. Amen.
Amen.
All right, it's a bit corny, but they will know we are Christians by our love. And throughout this movie, if you noticed it in this scene, and you can see why Sandra Bullock won the Best Actress Award, you can see what Leanne is thinking before she takes action. Because it was right in front of her, and a lot of us would have missed it. And if we look at the second part of this morning's scripture, verses 13 through 21, those switch to the present tense. And whether it was 2,000 years ago when this was written or today, it's still the present tense. It's instructions on how we are to act. Now, I'm going to start at verse 19 and reread this for you, the last three verses. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. I want to read that last line again because it says a word that you may have not realized. It says must love. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's when you get around to it. The real test of our love is how we treat the people right in front of us. We cannot truly love God while neglecting to love those who are created in His image. Leanne saw Michael. She showed him love, and lives were changed. By showing Michael love, he was no longer a young black man from the projects. He became their son. And in the preview trailer, you even saw her say, you mess with my son, you mess with me. He was brother to the Tui children, SJ and Colin. And I understand a little bit of that connecting a family that comes from different places. I come from a blended family. My mom remarried when I was 15, so right in the middle of my teen years. And her second husband, Jerry, he had three children, Patty the oldest, Tom and Dan, all teenagers. My mom had three, my older brother Greg, myself, and my little sister Deb, all teenagers. So if you're imagining this scene like that Brady Bunch grid with the nine squares and the three kids on both sides and mom and dad, we didn't have an Alice for the middle, so we'll just make that a free square. But our squares were more of everywhere. There was a lot of friction. We had a lot of angst. We were teenagers, and we did not want this messing up our lives. We had a nice life. Over time, though, things changed. We got older. We understood. And somewhere along the way, the language changed. And it was no longer, oh, that's my stepsister. That's my stepdad. The language changed to, that's my sister, Patty. That's my brother, Dan. We stopped ignoring each other, and we saw each other for who we were. We saw love. And we started with those who were right in front of us, who we had missed. Judith Jones has a commentary on this scripture, and she tells us, if we love others as God has loved us, there can be no boundaries. God's love, made visible and present in Jesus, is the source for the love we share with others. You see, Jesus ignored the limits that the religious leaders put on him, and he ignored what they said and those they rejected as heretics, as filthy, as despicable, as sinful. See, Jesus touched people who were considered untouchable. He welcomed those who others kicked out. And if you look at Jesus' words, the harshest words were not for those who were impure. It was actually for those who were the unloving, self-righteous people who saw some of God's children as beneath their attention and certainly as unworthy of their love. So Jesus showed us what God's love is like. Can there really be any doubt of how far our love for others must extend? It goes to every single human being. Loving others has a profound impact on them and on you. Take a look at this scene from the movie.
Hey, does Michael get the family discount at Taco Bell? Because if he does, Sean's going to lose a few stores.
He's a good kid.
Well, I say you make it official and just adopt him.
He's going to be 18 in a few months. Doesn't really make much sense to legally adopt.
Leanne, is this some sort of white guilt thing?
What will your daddy say?
Before or after he turns over in his grave? Daddy's been gone 5 years, Elaine. Make matters worse, you were at the funeral. Remember? You wore Chanel in that awful black hat. Look, here's the deal. I don't need y'all to approve my choices, all right? But I do ask that you respect them. You have no idea what this boy's been through, and if this is going to become some running diatribe, I can find an overpriced salad a lot closer to home.
Leanne, I'm so sorry. We didn't intend to...
No, we didn't, really.
I think what you're doing is so great. To open up your home to him, and... honey, you're changing that boy's life.
No. He's changing my...
You just talk about Leanne and you watch this scene. She is direct and she loves. Although she rarely says, I love you. I think at one point in the movie she mentions that she loves University of Mississippi football. But nowhere in the movie do I hear her say that she loves Michael or even her family, but you can see it through all of her actions because she changed lives through love. So we have this young man from Hurt Village, a place where survival is a day-to-day event. He now receives an education. He's with a loving family. He gets to go to college. And what almost sounds like a fairy tale, he was drafted into the National Football League in the first round. He was the 23rd pick. The Baltimore Ravens took him. And he was on the team that won the Super Bowl in January 2013. And you can see this picture. The Tuohys are with Michael, their adopted son. They actually legally adopted him in real life. And they're there for all of his accomplishments. They're there for his failures. They're there because they love him. They're family. See, what the Tuohys and Leanne did was they lived out the scripture from 1 John 4, the scripture we heard today. They loved their brother, this child, as God loves us. They saw him and gave him what he needed. They gave him love because God is love. So, we're going to be wrapping up sports this week. Next week, we're going to be moving into epics. So I just want to share what those are. Next week, August 6th, the Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis will be bringing Gone with the Wind. And it will be a lot shorter than the four-hour movie, I promise that. On August 20th, I'll be bringing Shawshank Redemption. Then we'll do Star Wars. And then we'll be finishing off this summer series on Labor Day weekend with an epic to go beyond all epics, Godzilla versus King Kong. And if you want to see how somebody connects scripture to that movie, show up on the 3rd of September. But as I said, we're ending our sports classics this week. And I have a challenge for you. And if you haven't figured out what it is yet, I'm going to tell you. And it's to love our brothers and sisters. You see, we love because God first loved us. Now, it may be someone right in front of you, someone you overlooked, and it doesn't matter why you didn't love them. You have that opportunity now to take action and love them. Now, it may be that you have to turn around in the rain. It may be that you have to go to a part of town that you'd never set foot in. It may be that you have to step outside that Norman Rockwell Brighton, Michigan painting that you have and look for that opportunity to love others. God has given us the Holy Spirit. We have the power. And if we love God, we must love our brothers and sisters because God is love. Amen.